Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yes, sir.
Live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, where it looks like Katie Ledecky is going to get a gold medal. And everybody can breathe a sigh of relief. We have a favorite in the Olympics who has been pushed as a big athlete coming in who was going to win a gold medal. So, you know, it's been a bit of a rough go so far for the women's soccer team, for the men's basketball team, for Ledecky, for the USA softball, who lost today and had a crazy play not go their way. So finally, we're gonna get one of our big athletes getting a gold medal. And it's gonna take the pressure off for about 5 minutes. Okay, great. But if the USA falls to Iran tonight and the Iron Sheik's tweets go through the roof, you watch, it'll be back really fast.
Yeah, but the Sheik loves the USA, so I think he'll be on board with Kevin Durant. He may have some choice words for him if they don't win outright, or perhaps even if they don't cover the 39.5-point spread. We'll be watching with bated breath. But for Ledecky, also part of the story of the day was, well, if we're going to keep getting commercials of her, was starting to show up on social media, She's a chosen one, and there I'm seeing all these ads about her life, and she didn't win. What's happening? Yeah, it's like the Madden curse, except don't endorse a product.
Right. I mean, look, the Olympics has been a disaster for the big United States athletes, all the big stars coming in, which has been women's soccer, men's basketball, Ledecky, USA softball. Now we're dealing with the Simone Biles situation. It's been because none of them have won. None of them have won. They've all lost. It's been big upsets. It's how do we lose that? It's been a disaster.
Look, well, but some of them aren't medals yet.
And there's great, look, there's great stories going. I'm not saying there's not. There's great stories going.
Hey, I heard the strings and the harps behind the story of some athletes today. So I know there are great stories still to be had.
Look, for every one of these stories, you get the story of an Alaskan swimmer with 150-meter pool in the entire state. She won a gold medal last night. But still, these are the big stars, and it's, oh man, they've just been getting drubbed. It hasn't worked. Finally, we got one. It's been a disaster. And now, hopefully, you know, we still have 2 weeks left in the games. You know, we just really started. But there's a lot of you're talking about Team USA. I mean, there's a lot of time to go, but it doesn't look great for the soccer team. They look like they're going to struggle all the way through. The USA men's basketball team could struggle all the way through. You know, I know there's a lot of time left, but that's the flip side of it is, hey, there's a lot of time left. So, you know, instead of, you know, winning and getting out, you know, there's a lot of time left for some more losing going on here.
Succeed, proceed, get out of country. Yeah, that kind of thing. But I can't wait for the documentary of this. Over the course of the weekend, I watched a documentary on the ill-fated Woodstock 99. That was about an hour and 50 minutes of my life. I will never get back.
I'm sorry about that,
but it had a couple of good performance things and obviously raised some serious issues about music festivals and how they're handled and all. But all in all, some of the blanket statements at the end of it left me a little cheesed off. But I will look forward to the 6-part documentary of staging and producing Olympics 2020-2021. Because, you know, just trying to keep training, keep your focus, keep your, you know, as Marshawn Lynch tells us, your mentals, not to mention everybody counting their chickens to make sure they can keep their training and everything flowing in the Olympic training areas. So you know, there's a lot going on here that I'm sure plenty of the athletes, after they've decompressed leaving Japan, I'm sure they'll have plenty to say.
All right, so we'll have more on the Olympics as it continues to unfold tonight. Again, we're about an hour and a half away from the men's basketball team taking on Iran. Iran, number one! But a big story out of the NFL today, Washington football coach Ron Rivera had a press conference, which he talked about being incredibly frustrated by the team's low vaccination rate. The NFL and all sports wants teams to get to 85% vaccination rate so we can get to herd immunity and teams wouldn't have to worry about so many COVID protocols. But the vaccination rate in Washington is very low. They're just over 50%, which you'd like to think they'd get higher at this point now. And here's Rivera today talking about his frustration.
I'm truly frustrated. I'm beyond frustrated. And part of it is, and the reason I walked in with the mask on is, you know, I'm immune deficient with this new variant. Who knows? So when I'm in a group and the group's not vaccinated or there's mixture, I put the mask on. And I do that, you know, for health reasons because nobody really knows. I just wish and I hope that our guys can understand that.
Now, I'm going to hit you with this, with what's going on with all athletes now who don't want to get vaccinated and are very public about it, right? Cole Beasley has been the face of this for a long time about no vaccinations. You show me a player who doesn't want to get vaccinated, all right? Because it's not political. It's not political anymore. This is not political. No. You show me a player who doesn't want to get vaccinated, I'll show you somebody who believes in conspiracy theories. Because every single person that has said, look at Cole Beasley, for example, who has always been very cagey with why he doesn't want to get it. Well, it's rights for the NFLPA. It's all these different things, and he wants to get in with people. He even said the other day he thinks the deaths have been overreported for COVID. Boom. There you go. Conspiracy theory. Show me somebody that doesn't want to get vaccinated. I'll show you someone who has read stuff on the internet and said, you know, I've done research on this and I know that I don't know about this vaccine. Oh, because you've read something where someone's told you what you want to hear. Like when I hear that, like John Stockton saying, I've done research on COVID. No, everybody confuses what research. It's like the same people who confuse what freedom is. Freedom doesn't mean you can do whatever you want, whenever the hell you want to. Freedom means you can do what you want to without infringing on other people's rights. It means you can say certain things and not be put in prison for it. But people don't think that's what freedom is. People see, I've done research. Getting on the internet, logging on, checking your email, and then doing research by typing stuff into Google is not research, okay? Research are scientists who are in a lab doing experiments because science is about saying no, right? Science, hey, we want to say no. We want to rule all kinds of things out. Science, about we're going to continue to do experiments. Is that the research you guys are doing, that you are in a lab with scientists continuing to do experiments? Are you reading medical journals? Are you in on doing the experiments that are going on right now? No, you're not doing any of these things. You're talking to people who think I don't believe in the vaccine because of stuff I've read on the internet, right? That's what it is. So you show me a player that doesn't want to get it and I'll show you that. Is there things such as underlying condition? Sure, but I've yet to see a player say, I can't get it because I have an underlying medical condition. Not seen it. I've just seen, I don't know about it. I want to keep it to myself. I guarantee you, every person, they believe that something is wrong with the vaccine. Something's going to hurt them. They believe something else. And they believe things like deaths are overreported and COVID's not as big as you think it is. You don't need it. I guarantee you that's what it is. Anybody that doesn't want to get the vaccine, any athlete who doesn't want to get the vaccine, that's their reason. They believe something crazy about the vaccine and that's why they don't want to get it.
Well, the catch-all has been do my own research. You know, Sam Darnold, another name, and certainly last week while you were out, we were talking about the coaching changes in New England and Minnesota. Well, news today, Rick Dennison stays with the Vikings after all. They've changed his position because he can't be with the unit given his vaccination status, but he will stay with the team in an advisory role. Phil Rauscher is now the new offensive line coach there in Minnesota. But you go on through the process and you know, mRNA, and you could do quick Google searches, 30 years plus in the making, however you want to go and get your information. Hell, Washington, the Washington football team at the beginning of June even brought in a Harvard immunologist to come in and explain all the science behind it to try to ramp it up. And a few of the teams that were deficient, one was the Chargers. They're now north of 90%. So maybe these numbers will change in short order. What's happening in Washington, certainly Ron Rivera, you know, putting his frustration in front of the media in full exhibition there. I'm thinking about all these just different scenarios, right? Wearing wristbands, right? Because you have to distinguish who's vaccinated, who's not, and you've seen the Steelers do that. And, you know, Bruce Arians been, you know, vocal about the process and how they're working things in the building because there's been some anonymous criticism of how they're handling it. But the NFL said 85% right now are vaccinated, at least one shot. 14 clubs are over 90%, so you're getting there. And you know, Jason, when it comes to football players, and I asked this question, and I said this to LeVar Arrington on our Sunday show. You hear LeVar throughout the week up on Game on Saturday, and then we do our Sunday morning. I said, how many guys just said, get me back on the field, taking shots of stuff they had no idea how it was going to impact their body? How informed is your consent of Toradol and all those other things that guys, just to keep your spot on the field and get back out there, that you took, no questions asked, right? And all the other protocols for years, this the same thing. Yet here, you know, you have this reticence, this desire to suddenly pause. And I get it. You know, there were some of the Olympians that didn't want to. I think it was up near 100 Olympians that didn't get vaccinated, saying they didn't want to change their training programs and were fearful that they'd have a couple of days of symptoms. I get it. There's some potential, right, that percentage. But then there's just so much more. And your CBA, you've negotiated this. You've talked it through. Your representatives have accepted what the NFL has put forward as a process. Why? Because they want everybody to get their bag, Jason. That's what it's all about. Here is the easiest, most straightforward path for everybody getting their cash, yet you still have some reticence. I could say this, and I said it, you know, and it really, it could be a mantra and a T-shirt going forward. You know, if you're fringe, find a syringe. Because you ain't going to have a job in this NFL for this year.
Wow. You could put that on a T-shirt, buddy. That could be on a T-shirt.
I don't know how many people would wear it. But I think it is one that's appropriate for this NFL season, right? Because there's already been a couple of agents coming out saying, well, they asked about my guy's status. He's not vaccinated. They said thank you very much and moved on. And we're going to see that throughout the year as you have injuries and guys at the back end of a roster. If you're not secured of a starting job, you put your status in question as this goes forward, because there's certain restrictions that are going to make it hard for your team to move forward with you as an integral part.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Dealing with a dead battery? Head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not. And if you do happen to need a replacement battery, they can help with that too. They got reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99. And they're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. Well, coming up next, we are creeping up to the MLB trade deadline. Is Max Scherzer really going to go? Are other players really going to go? How big and frantic a deadline are we going to have? Who are the players going to be changing places? Well, the best guess possible to talk about it's coming up next. Keep it right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy.
Breathe in, breathe out. Katie Ledecky has a gold medal.
Yay.
The inaugural 1,500-meter freestyle. She wins. It is a big moment, and the first big moment for one of the big favorites coming into the Olympics. We'll have more on that coming up. And clearly, hey, boy, do I have an Iran basketball stat that's going to blow you away. Now, hey, we are the official show of Iran basketball stats as the United States gets ready to play Iran coming up a little bit. But
all right.
Joining us now on the hotline as we are moving towards the MLB trade deadline, MLB Network insider, Fox Sports Radio insider. He's been able to put the Stanley Cup playoffs to bed and concentrate on what is happening and what will happen in the next couple of days. It is John Paul Morosi. You can follow him on Twitter at John Morosi. JP, what's happening, buddy?
Jason and Mike, my friends, it is a wonderful week on the sports calendar. One of my very favorites. Yes, the trade deadline is upon us, and it's arriving 1 year or 1 day earlier than usual this year. So I'm very excited for July the 30th, 4 p.m. Eastern time.
All right, so looking ahead, clearly there's one name that stands out above all else right now, and that's Max Scherzer. We've heard reports today that the three teams on the West Coast are going to be the favorites, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Padres. The Mets wanted to get in, but really they're not going to trade him within the division, and Scherzer might not want to go there. When it comes down to it, Max Scherzer is going to get dealt. I can't see it being anybody but the Dodgers. They have what they need. They have the cachet to make it done. They have the biggest need. They have their best position for winning now and for the next 2 or 3 years. Am I crazy, or do you see Scherzer going someplace else?
I do think the Dodgers have the edge here, Jason, that they have a really good base of prospects to trade from, a very clear need in their rotation for him right now. So need, prospects, I get it, makes sense. And yet, the Nationals have to make the best deal from their perspective, too. And that's why I would not totally rule out the possibility of the Giants. The Giants would like to get Max Scherzer as well. And they do have a young catching prospect by the name of Joey Bart, who they could potentially put in that trade if they get enough back in the deal to justify that cost. Now, Bart, for me, is someone that you would only give up if it's more than a rental. You would not give up the number 2 overall pick in the draft from 2018 for a rental. So if it's Max Scherzer plus, probably not Trey Turner, but Max Scherzer plus a reliever, Max Scherzer plus another bat potentially, then it starts to make more and more sense. But I really think the Giants are a team that we should not overlook, and the Padres have a tremendous amount of minor league depth as well to trade from. It's interesting to me too, guys, in reading the report on Max's desire to go to the West Coast, which I think is legitimate. I can understand why he has made that statement and why that's his position. I don't think he wants to go within the NL East and pitch against the Nationals for a division rival. Max is very wise about his legacy and the way that his career has unfolded. I think he wants the Nationals to be the East Coast part of his legacy. He already has the Tigers as the Midwest part of his legacy. And I think that if he goes out and wins a World Series for the Dodgers or for the Padres or for the Giants, I think Nationals fans would say, hey, if we're not going to make the playoffs, Max, go get one more ring, all the power to you. It's different if he's playing for the Phillies or the Mets. It's a fundamentally different thing. Jason and Mike, you both know that. And I think, too, that it also probably allows him, from Max's standpoint, if he goes and gets traded out to the West Coast, to almost shop a little bit for what that would be like as a free agent destination. Go to L.A., go to San Diego, go to San Francisco, explore a little bit, evaluate, see if you want to go there as a free agent. It really allows them to gather more information. So I think that's a really nice play for Max if he ends up going to the West Coast.
Three of the most expensive places to move in our country. Hi, JP.
Sure, confirm that's also true. Yeah.
That is absolutely true. So 9 games over 500, a series in progress against the Houston Astros, yet the Mariners send a couple of right-handed relievers to the Astros, incensing guys in the clubhouse. How do you appease them? You just give them a bunch of Kraken season tickets or what?
Well, Kraken season tickets are very much in demand. I will say that. I was enthused by their expansion draft last week as well. So, yes, while the Kraken are a very hot ticket, I do not think that Kraken season tickets by themselves would be enough to allay the concerns of the Mariner players who were, by some accounts, according to the Seattle Times, using the word betrayed and how they felt today. That's a very strong word for a team this close to the trade deadline. It only makes sense giving up your closer to the team you're chasing in the division if you have other big plans coming and other big acquisitions on the way. And if that's the case, then maybe this will make sense. But I think Jerry DePoto and his team may have perhaps not given enough credence to the importance that Kendall Graveman has had in that clubhouse this year. You really got the sense in the aftermath of this deal just how revered he is as a veteran player. And I'm not so sure, guys, that the Mariners brass really understood that before this trade. And perhaps that's a consequence of maybe not being around the players as much these days and not being in the clubhouse as often due to the various COVID protocols that exist in our world right now. But to me, it was a real wake-up call to Jerry DePoto, it should be, that clubhouse now is expecting that there has to be some other huge move coming this week. Otherwise, what happened today just simply does not make sense for a team that was really building a lot of positive momentum here in recent days.
Quote, he hasn't come down here, a player said of Jerry DePoto. He sits up in his suite playing fantasy baseball and rips apart our team without telling us anything. I'm just picturing him watching Moneyball over and over again, trying to have the Brad Pitt lines that he can just deliver. Guys, if you don't give me the answer, I'm going to point to Pete again. And yes, that's right. Really, I mean, it really fails to make sense.
And by the way, tonight, right now, as we speak, top of the fourth, Astros 7, Mariners 2.
Disaster. And losing a clubhouse that's – you're actually competitive for the first time in a while here,
right.
JP. First time these guys are feeling it, right? It's one of those – it's kind of like in San Diego. They're making moves, being aggressive, and then someone asks Eric Hosmer, will you be disappointed if you get shuffled off, which is a fair question, and he gets mad. But same thing, that feeling of betrayal of, hey, we put in a lot of work here. Help me out.
Right. No, that's a very fair point. And to me, when you've got a team that has the longest playoff drought in major North American pro sports, and you are just now starting to build some momentum, this is a puzzling move. It's a puzzling move. And it's also coming at a time, by the way, when the Mariners are, they just this week actually announced the hiring of a new president of business operations, and we don't know what their plans are for the offseason, if they're going to pursue a new president of baseball operations, what they want to do, but this is not the last impression that you want to leave on the front office at a time of changeover for that organization. Jerry now has to make a big move. He has to do something that earns him back some trust and some confidence on the part of those players, because if he does not, then it's going to be a really, really difficult offseason given all the positive momentum that was built before today and now all of a sudden very much in question right now at the trade deadline.
John Paul Morosi, our guest, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. All right, as we get close to it, JP, we've talked about this in recent weeks. A few weeks ago, I told you this is going to wind up being an insane deadline. You're going to see teams try to make up for the lack of making moves last year. You're going to see big names go everywhere. Are you still feeling that, still hearing that? The next couple of days, we're going to see tons and tons of moves, and it's going to be one of those frenetic deadlines?
I think so, and we've already seen some movement. Who knows, of course, if Trey Turner will be moved this week. Of course, it looked like tonight there was a moment where he was pulled from the game. We thought that maybe it was a trade. Instead, reportedly, he has tested positive for COVID-19, so that's its own story there with Trey Turner and the Nationals. But I do think, because of the number of deals that did not happen maybe last year, I think it's a great point that you make, and during the course of the offseason, and also teams that are now motivated to sell and really get their rebuilds moving. The Cubs are one of them, and mm-hmm. they have Bryant, Rizzo, Kimbrel, Baez to move, potentially Zach Davies as well. I would doubt Kyle Hendricks. The Nationals now with Turner, with Scherzer, some big-name players who are out there and available. The Texas Rangers, they've been stuck in the middle for far too long. Maybe now is the time that they end up moving Joey Gallo. So I think what I would say in general terms is, whereas past years you would hear teams saying, hey, no, this player is off limits, we cannot possibly move him, no discussion whatsoever, speaking a little bit of Whit Merrifield with Kansas City, it's a different tenor right now. There is a much greater willingness to be active at the deadline. And so, guys, I'm expecting to not sleep a lot. I'm expecting to have a lot of fun conversations, and I'm expecting to be having a lot of deals cross our desks in the days to come. And if there's a big deal Friday at the deadline, give me a call. We'll break it down that night.
Yeah, Frostberg just gave me an electro zap because he said it was too much Mariners talk. So let's get people excited. The Yankees. They're still creeping around. Judge coming back. What do they have in the minor leagues to give? Can they just sell the idea of here's some old memorabilia of championship teams that we'll give you for your display cases because we may not have the prospects to turn over?
Well, that you said it, Mike. And here's the sobering reality for the Yankees, that entering today, Joey Gallo himself, with 24, had more home runs than all left-handed batters for the Yankees this year combined. 24 for Gallo, 22 for all lefties with the Yankees.
That's a sin. That's a sin, man, in that ballpark.
Come
on.
This is the franchise of Don Mattingly, Reggie Jackson, the left-handed half of Mickey Mantle. You go back to Ruth and Gehrig. This is a franchise that has built its identity on left-handed slug, and they have no left-handed slug. They have to address this right now in a pretty profound way. Joey Gallo, I think, would make a ton of sense. I also think Max Kepler is a sneaky trade candidate right now. He's always reminded me of Paul O'Neill. I think he'd be great in the Stripes. Maybe you have some of that same fire that we saw with Paul O'Neill. So I would say Max Kepler or Joey Gallo should be a Yankee by 4 p.m. Eastern time on Friday. But to your point, Mike, perhaps the prospect base that we were hearing about for years is not quite as impressive as we were led to believe. That sometimes does happen with large market prospect bases, and that may have happened with this particular group of young Yankees.
All right, JP, if we threw out Max Scherzer at the beginning, let's close with this. If I said to you, give me two big names that you would not be surprised to be dealt by the deadline of four, big names on the Max Scherzer type level, what names you're giving me? And they don't have to go to the Mets. They could go any place. I mean, I'd like them to go there, but they could go any place. What names you giving me?
This is not a Mets-specific conversation, stunningly. I would say this. Among the controllable starting pitchers, right-hander Jose Berrios of the Minnesota Twins. He is an outstanding arm, controllable through the end of next year. I think Jose Berrios is likely to be moved. And then I really believe that when you look at other options right now, I mean, Chris Bryant, he'll move. He's a huge name. And then I would also add this. With Kansas City, Whit Merrifield, there's a better chance of him moving than at any point in time in the last couple of years. I know he's not maybe necessarily the biggest name, but he's a huge name in the industry. So I think Merrifield moves, at least potentially. Craig Kimbrell's going to move. Bryant's going to move. Max Scherzer's going to move. That's a pretty good list of guys that I've just given you right there. And Starling Marte as well in Miami, he'll move too. Joey Gallo, that's a pretty good haul of names that I expect are going to get moved here in the days ahead.
You can follow him on Twitter at John Morosi. That is at John Morosi, MLB Network, Fox Sports Radio Insider. JP, as always, buddy, appreciate your time, my friend. And, hey, when the Mets make a big trade and they wind up getting somebody big, we'll call you back.
Call me back anytime. Yes. You got NHL, a free agency tomorrow. Where is Philip Deneau going to go? Where's Dougie Hamilton going to go? I'm thinking about that stuff in addition to the trade deadline. It's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. Can't wait.
Oh, we got Dougie Hamilton in. Thanks a bunch, buddy.
We'll see you, buddy.
He's a great defenseman. You bet. We'll talk to you next time.
We'll get some more defense humor talk in next time.
Defenseur. Le defenseur de la Canadienne de Montréal, right? Yes. Well, we're ready for that. You got it.
Take it easy, JP. You know, just think about that for a second. Like, you see Jerry DePoto for the Mariners, and it's getting a big deal right now. You trade your closer, right, Kendall Graveman, and his ERA is under one. Guy's having a phenomenal year, right? You trade him, and trading him, I get it. You know, but you're finally feeling good. You had the biggest feel-good win of the year you're coming off, and you make a trade where you're basically saying we're waving the white flag because we're going to trade our closer. And not only do you trade him when you're only five games back of the lead in the division, and you trade him to the team that you're chasing.
Yes.
I mean, really, I get exactly why the Mariners players are upset. Jerry DePoto doesn't come down here. He's playing fantasy baseball. You can make that trade without strengthening a team in your division. I mean, that's
plenty
an insane
of suitors,
move to make.
Plenty of people looking for arms this year, whether it's starting pitchers or more help in the pen. It's always there, but this year it is magnified because there's so many teams that are on the fringe of being would-be contenders. Right, where the addition of one guy could be the thing that sparks it. Just crazy to me. Just bad business. Bad business, man.
I really don't get it. Another player reaction, quote, are you bleeping kidding me? It never changes. They don't care about winning. How do you trade him and say you care about winning? And you trade him to Houston? It never changes.
What do I think of his performance?
Are the Padres going to make a trade? Listen, we got to move somebody out because, you know, we made a couple of moves here. Oh, let's make a trade with the Dodgers. No, that's going to happen.
We're finally chasing them after all these years. Let's make a deal. Let's bolster their bullpen and give them an alternate to Kenley Jansen. Yes, let's do that.
The Yankees aren't going to say, you know, it's really time we move Aaron Judge. We'll get him at the high point now. We'll rebuild. We'll trade him to the Red Sox and we'll get back what we get back for. That's not going to happen. How do you do that in your division? Look, I get that you're competing with everybody else and, you know, if you're thinking wild card, you don't need to think your division. You want to catch. But you're only 5-6 games out. You're not 25 games out, right? You're not selling a guy at the end. You are competing, and you're sending a horrible message to your team. And you've strengthened a team that's directly in front of you. There's certain things you just don't do. Jerry DePoto played baseball for a long time, right before he became a GM. And I don't know the quicker way to get fired than this. You piss off all the players, right? And now you've lost their confidence, and now you watch what happens to the Mariners. If they wind up falling way out of contention, DePoto's going to be the guy to pay for it with his job. How can you walk down and say, yes, I just helped make us better? We're winning now, right? You made a big deal. You got Jared Kelnick. Great. Awesome. Right? You can't live off that forever because Brody Van Wagner was just stupid. So we got to move on. No. What do you do? How did you make us better? How did you help us? You didn't. You traded away our clothes. We're playing well, finally. We had some rough points now, and now you've made a trade with a team directly in front of you. This just passes understanding. And I get John Paul today, there could be a bigger move coming later on this week, but you could have still made a bigger move and traded Kendall Graveman someplace else. All right? There's many other, as you said, there's many other people that we're looking for. You could have called the Dodgers and, hey, you sure about Kenley Jansen? How about Kendall Graveman? Give us a couple of guys. All right. You could have traded him anywhere. Anywhere, and you didn't. This, oh man, I'll tell you tonight. Even though the Mets got drilled, we're in first place. I'm glad I'm a Mets fan.
Yeah, I'm just gonna throw. And the White Sox got a home run. Welcome back, Eloy Jimenez. Arik on Twitter had this, and I have to agree with it. For all the Mariners players, all right, put your name on it. Tell Jerry how dissatisfied you are by standing in front of a microphone on it to make sure my hair's right and put it on out there. Don't do the anonymity thing. He needs to know that beyond the anonymous quotes, how egregious this error is in bullpen and team management.
I'd love it if it was Kelnick, who's been there for like 5 minutes and is hitting 105.
You know, it never changes. Shows up here. And he's mad. Tell you, they told me when they drafted me, or when they acquired me, I should say, when they acquired me, this was going to be different. This was going to be a different thing. You know what? I'd rather be back in a Mets uniform.
Twitter it up out of Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. When I go to a bar, I go out, I like to spread out. I don't want to go where there's a lot of people. I like to go to a bar going, oh, there's nobody here, man. I can just sit on like 3 chairs and I can watch like 7 televisions and drink beer. Oh, this is the best. I always hated to go to clubs where, oh, there's nowhere to stand. There's too many people. Look, there's a table right there, but there's only 1 chair and someone spilled beer on it. No, I like spreading out. I'm a big fan of spreading.
That's because you're worn out by getting mobbed by adoring fans.
Well, you know, there is that. And I want to make sure that, you know, I protect myself, my legacy, and my brand. I want to do all those things.
My legacy and my brand. That's really well done. All I can say is the way that reads, Ilo, a lot of eyes wide shut kind of scenario.
Very good.
National football.
Very good.
Fidelio. I still remember the password. Fidelio. Fidelia. I probably should not have said that. I really should not. Okay.
Well, thank you, Isaac. Did you ever use that at a party? You want to, you know, really do a full confessional? Have at it.
Got to start hanging out with Smith.
I tell you.
Fidelio. Can I get into this party? Fidelio. Twitter it out about a fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, something we all need tonight for the rest of the night. And I have a fact on Iran basketball. The United States getting ready to play Iran. That is going to just blow you away. It's here. It's next. This is Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Play Taking Care of Business, but we just did that one. Taking Care of Business. Okay, one, two, three. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. A little bit less than an hour away from United States hoops taking on Iran in basketball. And there's one thing we absolutely need. So we're going to put it out there in the universe because we have to have it. We need the Iron Sheik to live tweet the game tonight. I mean, we really need the Iron Sheik to live tweet the game tonight. I mean,
you think there's an opportunity to get in touch with him?
Spot
bonus for our producers to see if they can come up with the Iron Sheik. We can't have him live here because we'll lose our license. And as much as, look, there's a documentary I need to watch on him, and I'm going to try to figure out how to meet up with him and have an interview at another time where I can do some creative editing for the show. But live tweeting would be fantastic.
Let me just give you a sample of the Iron Sheik's tweets from today, okay? I'll just give you a sample of these tweets before I get to that great stat. Okay. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. Otherwise, go blank yourself forever. At 400 Music. Today is going to be the day that I'm going to beat the blank out of you.
That's pretty good. We are living
in a time where I can genuinely tell you to go blank yourself.
That's good.
Blank air on the side of caution. This is just today from the Iron Sheik.
Well, yeah.
This is just today.
Well, how about the fact if you still use the word hoot nanny, you can go blank yourself for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
His pin tweet's about as good as it gets, though.
Oh, yeah, look, Hulk Hogan, you are worse than an airport tuna sandwich.
He can do 2 hours of stand-up with Hulk Hogan, you are worse than jokes. That is his version of Jeff Foxworthy, you might be a redneck.
If you're on your tablet, laptop, or mobile, go blank yourself. Here's a tip, go blank yourself.
It's good advice.
He really needs to live tweet the game tonight.
But here's his pinned tweet going back to 2018. Take a minute of your day to be nice to someone, you dumb son of a gun.
Now, let me throw this stat at you for Iran basketball, okay? This is from our friend Bernie Fratto. All right, straight out of Vegas, big host here on Fox Sports Radio. He comes on the show with us. He's on every weekend. He hit us up with this tweet, so I want to bring this to you. He goes, in case you might be interested, Iran has not won a basketball game in the Summer Olympics since 1948. Okay, that's the last time Iran won a game in the Summer Olympics. That year, they beat Ireland 49-22. It was their only win in the tournament. So if you're thinking, Iran, maybe screw the points and I can take it. No. They haven't won since 1948. They beat Ireland 49-22.
Wow.
Was that where they said, we're just going to have teams play against each other where the letters are close? Like, we got Iran and Ireland. They both begin with I. Let's have them play against each other. Let's just have them play.
It's really next-level stuff right here. I mean, when you start talking that kind. But you know what? Every night we see stuff we've never seen before. We've seen some crazy upsets, some fantastic finishes. So the United States, look, there's no time to rest on their laurels with some of the efforts they've put forth in these games. Greg Popovich is under, I mean, because think about it. If it does go awry, think about the post-game press conference with some of the questions. Guys.
Oh, the Iron Sheik would come in with the steel-toed boots. He would kick Popovich out. He would say, I am now the head coach. Iran, number one. Iran, number one. USA. And he would spit and go, Tui, look at USA.
There is the possibility of that.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. We need that. We need here's Foreigner without those words. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Coming up next, we get back into the biggest Olympic story of the day right here. Fox.